Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This episode number 180, recorded on Sunday, May 27th, 2018. We're in the middle of a Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S., so it's a holiday, and we're coming to you on we're working on a holiday, Tim. Isn't that amazing?
This is how hard we work, folks, for you, to bring you semi-quality content. This is what we do for you.
Well, it is a holiday weekend, so we are drinking, so you'll weigh that out. Maybe it improves us. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Well, I have tea.
Oh. Well, I have an adult beverage, and I think our guest is an adult beverage as well, too. So
yes, indeed, okay. She does.
Absolutely.
Okay. So right now, we have, you've heard me. I'm Lou. I'm your host. And, of course, Tim. Tim is here with us. And Lizzie could not be here because she is actually doing something more fun than talking to us. She's actually at Star Wars Galactic Nights.
Yeah.
Down in Orlando, which I am very jealous of. Although she got me a pin and she's probably going to get me another one tonight. So I'm excited. I'll get a couple pins out of this.
She did get you a pin. I saw her Instagram story where she was talking about it and then she actually got it and made it happen. She didn't get anything from me though. Thanks, Liz. Appreciate it.
See, I rate you, don't I guess, maybe. I'm paying her. So that's why I'm getting a pin, I guess.
There you go.
But to replace her, we have a special guest tonight. Tim, would you like to do the honors of introducing our special guest?
This is a very special guest.
Yes.
This is the most special guest that we could possibly have. She's currently giving me bunny ears.
She's recording with you in the same location.
Yes, yes. We are, in fact, recording in the same location. We do try to be in the same location pretty often. and that is my wife, Robin.
Nice.
Say hi.
Hola. Hey, everybody.
Hello, Robin. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Lizzie, there is no replacement for you. I'm merely standing in.
This is Robin's second official podcast activity.
Woohoo. Ever. What was the first?
Ever.
April and Jay have no ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
We talked about books on a podcast. It was
books.
Fun. Yeah. Favorite books. Least favorite books.
Nice. Well, now we're going to talk about all things entertainment-wise on Random Chatter.
Yeah.
And we go down rat hole sometimes and, you know, don't get, you know, things accomplished. But it's good. You know, we'll be having all kinds of fun stuff. So, let's see. We have a new name for one of our entities on the network. We've decided to kind of rebrand a little before we brand it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure this is a rebranding. It's really just a new brand. We're actually trying to spin off and create a smaller podcast network within our network, focusing on just Star Wars stuff. Mm-hmm. We were going to call it the Outer Rim Network, but I think we're going to call it something different now. We're actually going with a Force Chatter name. Kind of goes along with Random Chatter, and Force Chatter is a great way to do that. So
how so?
Well, it's got the word chatter in it, Tim. It, you know,
oh.
They kind of fit. Yeah, it's, you know, the same. Okay. Name, maybe, kind of.
I guess that makes sense if that's okay. how you want to go with it.
I think so. It was either that or Imperial Chatter. I don't think Eric wanted to do Imperial Chatter. Whatever.
I would have been fine with that.
So we have the Force Chatter Network, and it's going to include a few shows. We're actually doing two shows as we speak. I think one is being recorded right this very second, wasn't it? The first episode of The Outer Rim.
Yeah.
Is our Star Wars discussion show. Because I guess we don't discuss things here. We just are on our show, Tim. We just talk about news, but no. we discuss things too. I don't know.
Well, we kind of do a short form discussion. Echo Base is or Outer Rim rather is going to be a longer form discussion,
right?
And that is being co-hosted by Eric, who is going to be leaving Echo Base to go handle this because Eric, like the rest of us, has kind of a gazillion podcasts, and to take on one more was a bit untenable. So Eric kind of made the leap over to do Outer Rim, and Andrea, who you are probably familiar with from the Tight Beam and from Fangirl Confessional.
Mm-hmm.
She's also going to join Eric over there. And I think right now the plan is to kind of have like a rotating slate for their third seat. So once in a while, you might hear Lou or you might hear me or, you know, somebody else jump in. So, they recorded their first episode tonight. And we're looking forward to that. So Eric did want to, he does want to give kind of his farewell episode of Echo Base. So tomorrow night when we record that, he will be on to give that to everyone. So
we're letting him back in one more time. Okay, I guess.
Well, he had to pay for this one. There was we have a cover charge.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that works out well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And he's got to stay on guard duty outside in the cold overnight one night.
That's yes. What it is. We're going to make him look for Han next time.
Oh, boy. So now you guys just said you guys have watched Solo for the second time, which I'm insanely jealous of because I've only seen it once. Let's give a brief. We're going to talk about this tomorrow night on Echo Base, but what were your thoughts on Solo? Let's hear from Robin first.
Probably up there with one of my three favorite Star Wars inspired, I guess, films.
Nice.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
It was light. It was airy. It didn't fall into a bunch of traps that I didn't want it to fall into. Although I admit I fell asleep for a little bit in a very warm theater, it's still entertaining. And I do not tend to be a person who goes to a theater to see a movie over again. Thoroughly okay. Enjoyed it.
Nice. You know, I will say this. My theater was extremely hot the night I saw it, too. I came out, kind of, I got up off that leather recliner. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of sticking to my shirt. And usually if it's warm, I will, but like a light. But I stayed awake perfectly. I mean, this movie was just, it kept me anxiously, you know, anticipating what was coming up next. I didn't have any preconceived notions going in. I think that, man, you know, we talked before about this, Tim, that, you know, this was not the movie we wanted. I had no stretch of the imagination wanted a Solo movie. I didn't think we needed it. And I was, you know, going into this movie saying, okay, it's a Star Wars movie. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to take it for what it is and just see how it comes out. And I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, like Robin said, it didn't fall into the traps that I think we were afraid of personally. And yeah. I'm ecstatic by this movie. I want to see it again before it leaves the theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It moved along very well. And while it wasn't a movie that I was particularly excited for up front, I just like got immersed in it as it was going. And I'm thrilled with the movie. It was a lot of fun. It really was just fun to me. It did have some tropey things, but it felt the most like the original trilogy Star Wars to me.
It did.
And the original trilogy, I think probably more so than the rest of Star Wars. I think we talked about this in the last episode of the episode before of Echo Base, that Star Wars, when it started, did not take itself very seriously. And this movie does not take itself seriously. There's a lot of fun in the movie, even though there's some high stakes within the movie and there's some serious topics in the movie. The movie itself doesn't take itself real seriously. It's intended for fun. It's fast paced. It's action. And I love the fact that it like expanded so much on the opportunities for additional storytelling.
Yeah. You know, we were talking before we started recording tonight about that fact in general. And, you know, like before I was saying, I didn't have any need for a pre-Solo movie about what he was like 10 years ago. I could care less. But it set up so much stuff in that world, and it felt so much like the original trilogy that we can get now movies about maybe Crimson Dawn or about, you know, Maul running that organization or maybe Boba Fett can work for them and do something. You don't even have to have a Solo 2. It can be anything related to that part of the world in general, which I think is just fantastic. I can't wait to have more of these movies out there. I don't need a Solo 2. If we get a Solo 2 and it's fun like this, I'll probably be okay with that too. But I thought they did a great job building up to the release of the movie, because you go back 3 months and I wasn't excited about this movie at all. I'm like, okay, it's coming. I'm going to go see it, but whatever. But as the TV spots ramped up and I wasn't avoiding spoilers, I was actually looking for stuff and trying to find out more information about the movie. I got more and more excited as the release date came up. I don't know if it was just the way I approached the movie or the way they did the marketing, but I felt really excited walking to that theater on Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really great. I love some of the new characters that it brought into it. And I hope we don't see a Solo 2. I hope that the standalone film just kind of remain mm-hmm. one shots. But that said, I see a lot of opportunity for additional stories to continue on with some of these same characters. And, you know, not just Han and Chewie, certainly Lando. And you know, we talked last week in Echo Base about that Kathleen Kennedy's potential slip, which was then retracted about a Lando film. There's obviously been a lot of talk again still about a Boba Fett film. And I could see some real potential tie-ins to Solo coming off of that. So there's a lot of good stuff. It opened up a lot of doors, I think, and it was great.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm sure we'll talk much more at length about this tomorrow night when we record Echo Base.
Yeah.
What else have you guys been up to watching? I will say this. I have not been watching really anything else. I've caught up on a couple reality things. Survivor finished this past week, and The Voice finished this week or last week, and getting stuff off my DVR, that kind of thing. I haven't really gotten into anything new on Netflix or Hulu or anything. So you guys got to rescue me. What have you guys been up to watching?
Well, I'm going to have to own this, Lou, at your insisting. We got back into Lost in Space.
Nice.
And I owe you a big apology. If I would have just hung in there for maybe another half or three quarters of an episode, I would have seen the light. So I'm back, though nice. We're not finished.
Two more episodes left.
Yep.
Okay.
We're almost done.
Yeah.
Tell me what you've seen, because I can't remember what happened in what episodes now, and I was spoiling, but where are you up to in that series?
Is this a spoiler show?
That's true. Yeah, we don't want to spoil it for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that, yeah. You know, the robot better get his head on straight. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
And the survivors got themselves out of a crappy situation.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes,
there you
go.
I will say this. I mean, I thought the series was really well done overall. It was nice to have them take some nods from the original series and then go into this. But in fact, I've been starting to watch some of the original stuff on YouTube. You can find complete episodes out there. They're usually a small window and a big window with something else going on in the background, but that's how they get around the copyright, I guess. But it is fun to see those. And I think I'm two episodes in starting off that season series. And I forgot how good it was. I mean, it's campy. It's, you know, it's 60s mm-hmm. sci-fi. But, I was always happy of the show when I was watching it in reruns as a kid. So I'm kind of happy to go through and see it again. But this new series, I mean, I'm just excited about season two now.
Yeah.
I'll hang in there for season two until they start to fall into some traps and upset me again. And then, you know, you never know what I'm going to do.
All shows go through that, ups and downs. And sometimes season two and three are bad. And then they come out of it in season four. I don't know. It, depending on how they bring in different writers and how they move things along. I mean, I'm a huge Star Trek fan. And certainly different seasons of their different shows have been really, really cringeworthy.
Oh, yeah.
And they come out of it and they get new writers back involved and do something different. And it's like, oh, okay, this is good again.
Yeah.
So. Let's see. So let's go into our box office updates. I was kind of surprised this movie didn't do better, but Solo, of course, led the way with $83 million for week one. I'm surprised it's not higher than that, Tim. Were you thinking higher than 83?
Oh, I was definitely thinking higher than that. It's certainly a lot lower than a lot of folks thought. I was figuring it probably would have pulled like maybe 110, 115 million. And I mean, it does have the benefit of having a longer weekend. So
right.
With a holiday weekend, the number that we're giving you here is, the Thursday premiere with Friday, Saturday, today's estimate. And then hopefully tomorrow is going to get bolstered up some with it. But still, it's considerably lower than I think what a lot of people expected. That said, $83 million for an opening weekend for a film is really freaking good.
It's really, really good, right.
But so it definitely
falls... We're used to seeing much higher numbers for a Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It definitely falls short of their estimates. We are used to seeing more from Star Wars, but that does not mean this is an unsuccessful movie. And I think we're already seeing, unfortunately, you know, this that little dark negative corner of the Star Wars fandom on social media, there's been a group of people saying, oh, well, see, we told you this is it's a train wreck. It's not a good movie. And, you know, Kathleen Kennedy is leading us down the wrong path. And this is what happens. And no. $83 million in the opening weekend domestically. That's still really damn good. There's nothing wrong with it.
And it's got 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's not a bad number to have. Somebody was telling me this morning, like, oh, it's tanking on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, I looked at it after work. I'm like, no, it's not tanking. I mean, I think 70% is pretty decent as far as the movie goes. The audience score is only 60%. So, you know, that's an interesting thought of that. But that may be to do with the fact that people just didn't think they wanted this movie. Kind of like, you know, we had said before, Tim. But I don't know. I mean, you're at $83 million. That's definitely a, you know, good place to be. I mean, if I had a movie that made $83 million in its opening weekend, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
On the other hand, and since I saw it twice, I am feeling confident that I can say this. Both times I've seen it, I have seen adults in, let's just say, our age range, bringing their children.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the cutest little girl there with this big sparkly Star Wars shirt on. And they were, you know, so it might be a brilliant move to reintroduce younger audiences to that magic of, you know, the original trilogy characters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To a younger audience. So, you know, kudos to Kathleen Kennedy and whoever's out there making these decisions.
Yep. When I walked into my theater, I was like one of the first ones in, and right behind me, this guy comes in with his son and they sit down a couple seats away. And I'm like, that's some good parenting right there. It's like, right. He's got his young child with him. He's shown him the ropes of Star Wars. So while we were talking, I brought up Box Office Mojo just to kind of see where this fell with other movies. And the only other non-trilogy movie we have out there, you know, for one of the you know, ancillary stories is Rogue One. So they're saying 3-day total for Solo is $83 million. 3-day total for Rogue One was 155.
Wow.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's almost twice. That's significant.
Yeah, that is significant. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if this is because it's Solo or because it was just a movie people weren't, you know, interested about, or it wasn't had the same pull that Rogue One did for, you know, the nostalgia aspect of being in that same time frame as the original trilogy. We'll have to wait and see what happens with the next one coming out.
Yeah.
So rounding out the rest of the top five, we have Deadpool at number two in the second week, bringing in $42 million. Its total is now $207 million domestically. Infinity War still hanging in their number three position in their week five with $16 million, bringing its total to $621 million. Book Club is in there at week two with $9.5 million, and Life of the Party is in at number five spot with $5.1 million. So obviously Solo's taking a lion's share of that box office this week, but.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy box office now. And, you know, for solidly the next month, you're going to be able to go see Solo, Deadpool, or Avengers. You know, they're going to be there. They're going to be there definitely for the next few weeks. Even though we have Jurassic World coming out in June, Incredibles coming out in June, along with a bunch of other movies.
Yeah.
And still, that's going to add to this massive list of headliners. I mean, potentially, I mean, if we remember last year where the box office was so bad,
right?
Suddenly this year, we're going to have within the next few weeks, five insanely high films in the theater at the same time.
Right.
That's mind blowing. I mean, that's crazy.
Yep. It is amazing what the numbers have done this year compared to last year. There's an article I read recently, and I meant to put it in the show notes, but I lost where it was, but how much higher we are this year than we were last year. And I don't know if it's just because we have the big blockbuster movies this year that we didn't have last year. I mean, we haven't even gotten to Jurassic World yet, but that's going to do, you know, bank like it did in the first one.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
I mean, I dare say that this June will probably be a record-breaking June for the box office. I think we're going to see higher numbers than we've ever seen before because of these five movies.
Well, let's see. Here's April delivers record box office grosses, topping $1 billion for the first time ever. Wow. So that's impressive for April. $1 billion in April. I mean, that is pretty nice to go with. So, I mean, I think it's because we have some big movies. I'm not sure it's going to be consistent, because if you look at the rest of the movies out there, they're all doing, they either do gangbusters, you know, opening weekend and throughout their 3 or 4 week run, or they do nothing. So it'd be interesting to see what happens and if this kind of evens out a little bit. But, I mean, even this past weekend, you look at the numbers out there. I mean, numbers 4 and 5 in the top 5 are under 10 million.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. Now, you know, life got away again. I did not update my movie draft this week. I've played another week at nothing in my movie draft, but it's ending this week. So we're starting a brand new one next week, as far as the 13-week runs go on Fantasy Movie League. So I'm happy about that.
Yes.
I'm going to try to stay on top of that. But if you guys want to join us, Fantasy Movie League is a fun way to get involved with us on the show and you know, compete against us and beat me every week like everybody always does. You might have trouble beating Tim, because Tim's usually up there, but we'll have to see how that works out.
I'm not finishing strong the way I wanted to, though. It's This was tough. It was a weird week. A big part of it is because of these big movies with Deadpool and Solo and Infinity War in there. And the pricing of those movies is really high and trying to figure out a lot of stuff. So it's a tough week. I was fifth place yesterday. With today's update, I'm eighth place. Oof. I'm still holding on to second overall for the season, and that's barely.
Now, how is yours secured? Actually, no, I did update mine this week. I forgot I did. So how are you tentatively holding on to second place? Are you close to being knocked into third, or are you?
I was closer yesterday than I was today. David is right. He was right behind me yesterday. We've gotten a little bit more space with today's today's update, which is from yesterday's numbers. So
yep.
Once we have tomorrow's update with today's numbers, and then even in Fantasy Movie League, this is a long weekend. So really, we're not going to have the closing numbers until Tuesday,
because
they're going to be counting Monday. So
I'm hanging on the fifth place right now this week. So I'm pretty happy with that.
That's good.
But yeah, I totally forgot. I did it last minute. Like, oh, I'll pick this, because it was like running out of time. I got the message saying, oh, it's running out. I was working outside. Oh, wait, let me stop for 5 minutes and update my movie draft. but that's cool to see. I haven't looked at our movie draft. Have you looked at our numbers lately for ours?
I did. Well, I updated it last weekend. I did not update it this weekend, though. So
okay.
I've not looked at it.
Am I still leading?
You definitely are.
That's all I need to know.
Because Solo was the only one.
Stop right there, Tim. Stop right there. I'm good. As long as I'm leading, I'm good. Thank you.
So I don't know that you're going to finish out the season in the lead, but.
Okay, Tim, you're breaking up. I can't hear you, Tim. What are you saying? I can't hear a word you're saying there, Tim. I think Andrea's going to win with Jurassic World. And what's she have? She has something else big.
I think she has Solo.
Does she? I was thinking of something else. Yeah. Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to hold out for the very end, because I'm sure Jurassic World will do exactly what Infinity Wars did and give her $400 million. And she has much deeper bank than I do. So, oh, well.
Yeah. But it'll be.
It's all fun.
So, yeah, you know, like we said, it's going to be a real busy June. I think we're going to see those numbers climb quite a bit. And because of all these big movies that are in there, I don't know that we're necessarily going to be able to close out this movie draft for like another month afterwards. We may not be able to close it until like July, early August.
No, that's why we go a time out for the next person to get in there. So
yeah, but we will be in somewhere around a month from now, we will be recording our next movie draft. Because the next season starts July 1.
Andrea's only $200 million behind me right now. That's rough.
She's going to make that up real fast, my friend. Real fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. What is she? You know what it was? She has A Quiet Place, which has just done gangbusters. That's the problem. That's the problem. A Quiet Place gave her $176 million. And she only paid 11 credits for it. So that just screws everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's continued to make crazy money off of that.
Yeah. And she still has.
This is its first week not in the top 5, by the way.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
And that movie's been out for 7 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she still has Jurassic World. And Carrie has a Star Wars story.
Oh, does she? So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, if Jurassic World just falls in its face, I'm going to start putting all kinds of negative press on Twitter. And, you know, they were, you know, I think they actually killed dinosaurs during the filming of the movie. So,
yeah.
You know, they've got to just, you know, stop those movies entirely now. So maybe we can get it to do nothing. Yeah, I'm not going to win this draft. There's no way.
So, yeah, next month we've got Hotel Artemis, which has an incredible cast. Ocean's 8, which has an incredible cast, and it's part of a franchise. Incredibles 2, which the first movie was a lot of fun, and it did really well.
Yeah, that'll do huge.
Tag, which may be my most anticipated movie for June. It just looks funny. We're actually going to be, Rob and I are going to be in, we're traveling to Germany next week, or next month, and we're going to be there when Tag comes out, so I'm going to have to wait until we come back to see it. And then Jurassic World, The Hustle, and then the sequel to Sicario. So some really significant
good. It's
movies.
Not going to do huge numbers in the box office, but that looks really good. Sicario.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is they changed their director. It's not the same writer. So other than the crossover of the two characters, might be a whole completely different type of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, same genre, same type of movie, but a different feel. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Is a different feel to it.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one. I wanted to, but I never did.
It's pretty good. There were some... It was very action-y. It had decent flow to it. There were a couple of weird directing choices and some writing things that, like, you're wondering why the characters are compelled to do something.
No.
But that said, still a pretty good movie. I mean, I'd give it a B.
Okay.
And it's interesting because Benicio del Toro's character was not really the focus of the first one, but based on the trailers I'm seeing for this one, he is the focus. So an interesting shift, I think.
Okay. Well, now that we're a half hour in, we should probably get on with the rest of the show here. So we got a lot of notes to go over here. We're trying to get into an hour. Tim, we can blame Lizzie, right? Because she's not here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally her fault.
Okay. Totally her fault. Let's see here. We did discuss that Solo is not doing as well at the box office as we thought it was going to do. But, Tim, you got a note in here that it's done half of what Deadpool 2's opening was globally.
Yeah.
That is pretty impressive. Now, Star Wars is not known for having a good international presence like some movies do, so
sure.
Not that surprising, I guess, but have Deadpool beat it? It's kind of funny. I mean, and Deadpool 2 is not that great of a movie.
Did you guys good. See it? Yeah, I did. It's good. I don't think it was as good as the first one,
right?
But still a lot of fun. I thought it was a great
movie, but it wasn't as fun as the first one. I think they tried to go too much in the same direction with that, but
yeah.
Lost the story in the prospect of that movie. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, half of what Deadpool 2 did. So not a great start for Solo internationally. My favorite story of our topic this week is The Expanse has been picked up by Amazon. So a couple weeks ago, I think about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Sci-Fi decided they were going to cancel The Expanse after the third season.
Mm-hmm.
High production costs. They didn't have control of the production of it, so it wasn't one of their core shows. And, you know, yada, yada, not making money type thing. So,
yep.
I mean, if they want to make money, I don't know, I guess. But they didn't control the streaming rights to that either, so that was part of the problem with them, with The Expanse. And Jeff Bezos announced that Amazon is going to pick up The Expanse for season 4 and beyond, I guess. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it as a binge show where it all comes out in one spot or it's going to be released weekly. I'm not sure if Amazon does things differently in all their shows or how they release stuff. But I'm not going to be happy if it releases all in one shot.
Mm.
Make it a little tougher doing a podcast about it like we do.
Yeah.
The Type Beam show.
Well, but, and it takes away the anticipation and you know, any good show is going to leave you on some measure of a cliffhanger and you kind of,
right.
You want to have that suspense. You want to have that build up to it. So,
I mean, it's nice to get a show all at once, but at the same time, I mean, maybe I'm just old fashioned, but I like to get a show weekly.
Yeah.
And let it let it bring you along in up to date on this stuff. I mean, I don't know.
I'm kind of the opposite. I like to binge shows. I am not a patient viewer.
Okay. True.
And I'm saying that, cautiously here, because my husband will kick right in there with, I have left shows because they have upset me and it's taken me months to go back. And in some shows, really? I've not gone back at all. Mm-hmm. I like the binge aspect. I think if I didn't binge Game of Thrones, I think that would have been another thing where I would have just fallen off of that bandwagon for a little while and needed people to bring me along with it. So,
I mean, I like binging shows that have been out for a while, catching up on old stuff that way. I think it's great. But I'm intimidated by it. They released a show of all 10 episodes all at once. I'm like, I feel like I got to watch them all right now. And I can't usually, so it's like, oh.
Well, it's kind of like the pressure that you've been putting on us to watch Lost in Space, Lou.
Okay, fine. Jeez, yes, yes, yes.
Every time I talk to you, did you guys finish Lost in Space yet? Did you finish it? Huh?
Well,
did you guys finish it yet?
Even if it was done on a weekly basis, it would have been done a long time ago.
Two or three months ago, I guess.
Okay, maybe it wouldn't have been done. I'm happy that the Expanse is getting picked up. I think it's a phenomenal show as far as production values and the acting going on in it, as well as the writers of the books, James S. A. Corey, have been involved in the production of the TV show too, which is great. And like we talk about this in the show, there's enough differences in the show versus the books that it still gives me something to look forward to. I don't know what's coming next. I don't know how that's going to happen. They get to the same points, but they come, around a different curve to get there, which is kind of nice.
No, I'll tell you, I'm thrilled for you guys. I just have not gotten into Expanse. I haven't even tried it yet. We just simply haven't had the bandwidth of life to really fit it in yet. But,
that happens. Believe me.
I know you guys have been talking it up for quite a while, and you guys are big fans, and I'm thrilled for, that the Tight Beam is going to be continuing on with it. And I think it's great. I think it's great. I'm definitely looking forward to eventually getting into the Expanse. But for the here and now, I'm excited for you guys.
Well, I think you should read the books too, Tim, because they're incredible books. As I think we said before, it's one of the few books that you can read that if you're into that whole space travel thing, it's done in such a way that it feels like it really is if it was 200 years in the future and we were traveling to the planets in our solar system with, technology getting to the point where it's just 200 years from now, not like, oh, we have warp drive and we're old technology. It you read the book and you're like, I really feel like I know what it feels like to be in a space battle. It's like, wow. Cool. It's like really cool. So nice. Yeah, highly, highly recommend the books. Let's see here. I've not kept up on this next story, Tim, but I heard about it. So the EU is putting in some new tactics, I guess, to help keep their people safe and secure online. Is that what this is all about, Tim?
Yeah. So the European Union has implemented the General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR. And even though that's the EU, a lot of companies that deal with our own data are doing so internationally. So it's everything from social media accounts to larger banks to online retailers, that kind of stuff. So you've probably noticed that over the last couple of weeks, you have gotten a gazillion of these privacy policy updates. You've gotten them by email. You log into your Twitter account and you get a pop-up that says, hey, we've updated our privacy rules. Please review them and accept them. Of course, no one really reviews them.
Oh, I read every single word.
Do you?
No.
So just kind of wanted to throw that out there. And I mean, I think it's pretty much common knowledge, but just in case some folks weren't familiar with it and suddenly said, wow, I'm getting all these privacy policy updates. Well, that's why.
The EU is making this more restrictive or more secure, I guess, for the vendors that have this data? Is it getting better for us? Is that what's happening?
Yes, it is very it's very user friendly. It is the intent of this is to enhance privacy
okay.
For users and for users to also be more informed about what data is being used and how it's being used, not only by the company who you are directly interfacing with, but also any potential partners or subcontractors or anything like that 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 company may have. So these privacy rules are very or the privacy policies now are getting to be very detailed. So it is a great thing. And even though, you know, the emails are maybe a pain in the butt for people, I mean, not that big of a deal. You can click delete if you're choosing not to actually read them, like Lou is. we the nice thing is that we get to benefit from this. Basically, what it comes down to is it's a trade regulation that the EU has implemented. So it's a benefit for all of us, I think. I really don't think there's a downside to it.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I think it's great if these companies are doing this, keeping up with the most restrictive parts that may be for the EU and just rolling out worldwide.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense for them to make two different levels of privacy and make it harder for themselves. So just kind of make everybody to the same standard, which I think is great.
And that's a good point. The vast majority of companies have decided to do just that because it is not worth their time, energy, or effort or money to try to segment out their users and worry about where a user might be that, you know, hey, this week I'm a Twitter user here in the US, but in two more weeks I'm going to be in Germany, so I would be under the EU's regs. And right. How do they deal with my data then? No, companies have just said, no, one blanket rule change, and that's how we're going to deal with everybody. It doesn't matter where you are, when you are, how you are, or who you are.
We're a big one big world, right?
Yeah.
We're all together. Yeah, nice.
Go Team Bald Guy.
Team Bald Guy, that's right. Wait, do we have our own privacy policy?
No.
Okay. I see the gears turning there.
I was trying to come up with a snappy response, but there just wasn't one available. That's
where video really pays off.
Yeah.
He'll come up with one for the closing. Just hang on.
There you go. Yeah.
I have to refer to my my co-host Tom from Dispatches from the Front, who is an attorney. and awesome. I'll get back to you on that.
Awesome. I can't wait for the update. Now, Tim, you got this next story here perplexed me a little bit. Caution with Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom's new theatrical trailer.
Is this
something that's going to spoil something for us, Tim?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah? I don't think I've seen this one.
Don't go to theaters.
You didn't see this trailer in front of Solo?
I didn't see anything that was out of the ordinary, I don't think. Maybe I didn't get the same trailer.
Oh, my God. This new trailer spoils the whole freaking movie. Like, what?
It's got dinosaurs?
Well, aside from the fact that there's dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the earlier trailers were really good. I mean, they were just well-done trailers. They set up circumstances and give you the clips, and they show you some conflict and some cool action.
Sure, yep.
And Gurr dinosaur and, you know, that kind of thing. This new one, it tells you the entire plot story point for point, at least as best as I can anticipate. It is way too much. And I was actually ticked off when I first saw it, because I'm like, really? Why am I going to go see the movie now?
Ticked off and vocal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, Tim, vocal. No.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Because there's a plot twist in the movie and the trailer reveals it. And the trailer's so upfront about revealing it because the characters even say, this is not what we understood this to be.
Oh, wow.
They actually say that in the trailer.
Or I just didn't pay attention because I was so anticipating Solo. I'll have to go check that out online because I hate it when movies do that. I hate it when they give away too much of the story. Yeah. And that's why I stopped watching TV spots before a big release, because I don't want to see, they keep giving you more and more and more and more, but I'm glad I didn't pay attention to this before Solo.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, seriously, folks, if you don't want to be spoiled on Jurassic World, just be careful what you watch. I don't know if they're going to do a shortened version of that to become a TV spot. If they do, they who knows? Will. Yeah, who knows how much it's going to reveal. And if you're going to the theater, just you know, be careful. I mean, if you gotta stick your fingers in your ears and go and close your eyes and go la 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 for like a minute, you might look like an idiot. No, you will look like an idiot, but at least you won't be spoiled for it.
Oh boy! If you do that, do a selfie video and send it to Tim because I think he wants to see that.
Totally.
You might only get one thing in your ear because you got to hold the phone with the other one, or have a friend hold the phone.
Yeah, that's why. See, if I did that, my wife would be gracious enough to shoot video of that and
distribute it widely.
Yeah. I was gonna say she'd shoot video of that. All right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Before the feature film started, she would have that uploaded to Discord.
Oh boy. Tim, I threw this one in here just for you because I know you're a huge Bond fan.
Yeah.
I think Screen Rant was the one that had this. ComingSoon.net, sorry. Just a bit of an update on Bond 25. They talked about the fact that we now have Eon and MGM partnering with Universal Studios for distribution and production for Bond 25. So the more we get these big players involved, the more things are solidifying, coming to fruition. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
They're saying production is going to begin December 3rd. Of this year for theatrical release next October or November, November 8th in the US. Yeah. So, yeah, that's good news. I mean, I'm excited for this. It'd be the last Daniel Craig movie, but.
Very excited. I think it's great. Yeah, they did a press release a couple days ago to just kind of confirm things that we kind of already knew or were heavily rumored. I mean, they said, hey, Danny Boyle is going to be our director. And the world said, no kidding.
Yeah, we knew that weeks ago. But they confirmed it. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did confirm. They did give us the release dates, both for the US and the UK, which are their two big markets for Bond, obviously. And talked about the studios. So it's good. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I'm excited too. I'm looking forward to that.
Speaking of Bond?
Yeah. Yeah.
Halle Berry.
I'm very excited about this.
I was like, where's he going with that?
No, I've been waiting to talk about this.
Have you?
Go for it.
Are you a big Halle Berry fan?
I'm a huge John Wick fan.
Oh, that was the story you're talking about.
I am a huge John Wick fan, and I cannot wait for John Wick 3. I will be there at the opening, just like my partner in crime here is there for every Star Wars opening that's ever happened or will happen. I'm not a huge Keanu Reeves fan, but this particular, what I hope is now a franchise, will take me to the movie theaters no matter what he's doing or isn't doing or monotoning on the screen. I don't know what it is about this particular movie that,
but he's a monotone surfer dude.
Yeah,
hey, but you know, it's funny because I mean, I'm not like saying I'm a huge Keanu Reeves fan either, but he's done some great stuff.
Yes,
and people say he does himself. I'm like, no,
yeah.
He doesn't have a huge range, but I mean, he does some great work.
He does, and he shows more of himself in John Wick 3. I mean, we get the humor, we get the sarcasm, we get. You know, we get all that in a nice, neat package. There are, you know, some women who are in my, you know, sphere of friends and things like that who, you know, will just go to see John Wick 3 because Keanu Reeves is in it. No, I'm going to see it because it's John Wick 3. And you add Halle Berry and Angelica Houston, and you've got some pretty powerful actors coming together for that.
Oh, I think so. I 100% I'm on board with this movie. I mean, I was on board with this movie before it was even thought of. Because I was like, you know, any John Wick thing I'd love to see. I mean, this is one of those things where I didn't see it in the theater, the first John Wick movie.
It was like a sleeper.
That people were like, you got to see this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I think this is back when Eric and I were doing the podcast for Flick Fights with Nathan.
Yep.
From Flick Fights. And they're like, hey, have you seen John Wick? I'm like, I haven't even heard of it. What is this movie? So, you gotta check it out. Watch it this afternoon. And we'll record tonight. I'm like, okay. I watched it. I'm like, how did I not know about this thing? And, you know, since then, I mean, obviously it's taken off, but man, that first one did not get the publicity it should have gotten beforehand to get out there in the theaters, because, you know, it was phenomenal. And the second one was pretty good too. I mean, I won't say it was better than the first one, but it was definitely a great movie.
Yeah.
And now adding more characters, more actors to this movie, I'm excited.
The second one, my wife and I saw in a movie theater in Anchorage, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because we had a long wait for a flight, which was like a midnight flight or something. And it was our last day there. We went, we had dinner, and we're like, we still have like hours to kill. What do you want to do? Hey, there's a movie theater there. They're playing John Wick. Let's go see it. John Wick 2.
Awesome. So,
yeah. Awesome.
So May 17th, 2019, I know where Robin's going to be.
Yes.
Yep.
Let's see here. Ryan Reynolds is teaming up with Eric's favorite director, Michael Bay.
Yep.
To do a Netflix movie. Six Underground. I've heard bits and pieces, but I don't know much about the movie. Now it's going to be the most expensive movie that Netflix has ever produced.
Yeah, apparently they're saying somewhere around $150 million production budget on this. And
wow.
Now,
is this going to be a Netflix-only movie, or is it going to be a theatrical release?
As far as I know, it's going to be Netflix-only. There doesn't seem to be any indication that it's going to be theatrical, which is
wow
crazy. I don't know how Netflix can... I mean, they make money, obviously, through their subscriptions and such, but man, if you put it in the theater, you're going to make more. I mean, I know distribution costs a lot of money.
Right.
And if they're going to do the high power theater marketing that a theater requires, but.
Right. I mean, I would think you put it in the theater at least to have a release, and then maybe immediately or the next week or 2 weeks, you know, a month later, put it on Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got your, you know, you're going to give it to yourself for streaming, of course, but wow.
Yeah,
$150 million for just a Netflix movie. It seems like an awful lot.
It just it seems crazy. I mean, with that budget and with Ryan Reynolds and Michael Bay behind it, it seems crazy to only have it on Netflix. I agree with you. Throw it in the theater for a week.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, this brings up a discussion point actually. If we can really kind of expand on this for a second, you know, what does this mean for movies in general? I mean, we talked a while ago, maybe a year ago, about, you know, is the theaters on their way out? You know, are we losing that whole realm of where movies are going to be distributed? It, you know, is this kind of the first step to that? I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, I'd like to see a big production movie on a big screen.
Well, you know, I don't think it is. I mean, we've had made for TV movies since the 80s.
Yeah, but made-for-TV movie was as good as what you see in a theater?
Well,
I mean, there's a reason why they're made-for-TV movies.
Well, true, and we all know that Liz is kind of the queen of made-for-TV movies because they're all stupid rom-coms.
She watches the Hallmark Channel.
She does. Or as I like to call it, the channel for women that hate men. Sorry. I don't get hate mail. It's Lou at Random Chatter. Go ahead.
But there is an experience to a theatrical release that I go for. I will never go to see a movie like Book Club at the theater. There's no reason for me to go see a movie like that at the theater. I want the surround. I want the sound. I want the action to hit me in the face, and I want to be completely overwhelmed. If I'm sitting in my home or with friends watching a movie, that is not an overwhelming experience. That needs to be a communal experience where you have side conversations.
Right.
That you're not supposed to have in theaters. Yes, people, you are not supposed to have side conversations
not
in theaters
to talk
while the movie is playing.
I mean, I'll say this. I mean, a movie like, you know, Book Club, you mentioned. I mean, I'll go see those kind of movies occasionally with my wife as a date night. You know, we'll go out dinner, maybe a movie, and see something. Because she doesn't have the same good taste I do in movies a lot of times. So,
you know,
I can say it because she's not home right now tonight, so I can say that.
I married well.
Yeah, you did. You did, Tim. But, you know,
not to say you didn't. I'm just saying my wife loves a lot of the same movies that I do. So.
Oh, well, see, my husband likes more rom-coms than I do. So
funny enough,
he does. And he gets the eye roll every single time. We really have to see a chick flick, dear. Yes.
Oh, I want a video of that. That'd be great.
Hey, Wedding Crashers, one of the best rom-coms ever made.
Wedding Crashers is fun. Yeah,
I'll love that movie.
I'll give you that.
Stupid.
Oh, that's awesome. But you're Robin, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, there's a movie that you want to see in a theater and a movie that you don't. And I just don't get where Netflix is coming with this, this new production of a movie. I mean, except for release in 19, except for a Netflix release in 2019, no details on plot or additional castings are available.
It's working for them, though.
Begin filming this summer. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean,
look at all the stuff. I mean, yeah, there's also a lot of TV series things that they've put on there, which obviously doesn't have any kind of potential theater competition. But
right,
we saw, what was it early this year, late last year, when the with Bright, with
yep. Well, that was not bad as a movie goes.
Oh my God. Why is the actor's name?
Will Smith.
Thank you. So really good movie that compelled them to make the decision to make a sequel. And there was discussion about like doing a Bright universe where they would have some other offshoots and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
It's obviously successful for them. It's interesting because Netflix doesn't give us an equivalent of box office numbers.
Right.
So we don't know the kind of money that Netflix is or is not making. But when they sink the amount of money that they did into, say, something like Bright, which I don't recall what the budget was, I'd say, I don't know, $100 million maybe, based on the effects and Will Smith and all that stuff. They had to have gotten a good rate of return where they saw a spike in subscription numbers for that. And I have to imagine that then leads them to say, hey, let's do it again and let's do it again and let's do it again. So it's got to be working for them. But on the other hand, I also have to think that a subscription service is going to reach a certain point of saturation at some point. We're going to see you then enter the law of diminishing returns where, you know, I'm reluctant to make a comparison because I know Eric dings me for them, but it's like, it's like what people say about taking drugs, that every time you take a drug, the high isn't as high as it was before. So it keeps on dipping down. And I think eventually the subscription services are going to see that because they've kind of reached that point of saturation of within their potential audience of people who are going to sign up.
I mean, you got to figure right now they're still vying for memberships. I mean, you've got so many different services out there, mm-hmm. and it's getting more and more fragmented with things like the Disney Channel doing their own subscriptions thing and, you know, Paramount doing theirs and, you know, you got CBS doing theirs. You know, at what point does people like me are just going to say, you know what, I'm done doing all these different subscriptions. I'll do one and go with that.
Yep.
But you're right. At some point, you've run out of everybody you can subscribe to. Netflix is already subscribed.
Yeah.
And now you're getting it free with, I think Comcast or Xfinity does a free thing with that. So you get that for free with certain packages from Xfinity. And mm-hmm. I think one of the other cable companies does it as well, too, where you get a free Netflix subscription with your monthly cable bill. That's a guaranteed money from the cable companies to Netflix, I guess. But, I don't know. At some point, when do you stop making money with these things?
Yeah.
But I mean, back to my original point with this, though, at some point, when does it become less viable for movie theaters to exist? I mean, we thought that was going away a couple years ago, and we started getting all the new theaters with the recliners and the more food choices and mm-hmm. making it more of an outing, you know, better than you can get at home type thing. And I'm back to going to the movies more than I used to, but you go back 5-6 years ago, I really want to go to a movie theater, sit in a small little seat, and eat stale popcorn and pay a lot of money for it.
That was back in the dark times, Lou.
I know.
We don't talk about that.
It's gotten better. I still buy the stale popcorn, but they layer the butter on. They put a little bit of popcorn butter, a little bit of popcorn butter. So it's better, you know.
But I'm hoping that movie theaters see the light and there are more and more of those type of movie theaters that you're describing that come out, because we struggle here in our smaller market with a movie theater where the seats are still small and they don't recline. They might rock back and forth, or, you know, if I
just
really want
to, the bolts are loose in the ground. Yes. I'm not supposed to rock.
Yeah, I was just thankful no one was sitting in front of me today, because I had my feet up on the back of the seat. Because
that's why we can't have nice things, Rob.
That's right, we can't have nice things.
But no, you're absolutely right, because there's a theater like 5 minutes from my house, maybe 10, that is it was a nice theater. It was one of the newer ones coming around. I saw The Phantom Menace there when it came out. And now I bypass that one and drive another 20 minutes away to go to a really nice theater with the recliners.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm like, I went back to a movie theater, went back to Brantford for something within the last year, and I sat in the seat and I'm like, oh, that's why I don't come here anymore. Okay. Never again. I don't care if it's not playing my theater. I'll wait. You know, it's like, oh.
And even the screens are smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the newer theaters, the nice ones, I mean, they have like these 1.5 times size screens, and it's everything is incredible in these theaters. So,
yep. Yeah. Well, see what happens. I mean, I am hoping Netflix does well, because I like Netflix a lot. I don't want to see this really diminish from the box office numbers and be able to see movies still on a big screen. Cause if you don't have a nice home theater, it's still nice to get out and go see a movie on a big screen.
And it's, it's Ryan Reynolds, obviously, who, has had this insane resurgence in his career with Deadpool, and Michael Bay, who, despite a lot of the ragging that he takes for Transformers, he took the gamble and did bring the Transformers franchise to film. And the first one wasn't that bad. But he's also done things like Bad Boys, which is an incredible movie. Both of them, incredible movies, actiony, funny, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we actually, my wife and I just got done watching Bad Boys 2 a couple hours ago. It just happened to be on HBO or something. So, and that's one of our favorite movies. So he does good things. And I think him with Ryan Reynolds could be some pretty good movie magic.
He's done some great stuff. Yeah.
Although, is it wrong to call him Michael Boom Boom Bay? I mean, can we?
No.
All right. Because in my head, every time guys say Michael Bay, that's what I hear. So
he has explosion quota.
I'm never going to call him that, but you can call him that. That's fine. I'm looking through what he's done, and, you know, there are some great things in here. I mean, Bad Boys, you said Pearl Harbor wasn't bad. Armageddon wasn't bad. The Rock was a good movie back in the day.
The Rock was awesome.
The Rock was awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, he's done some good stuff. And then he's got all the Transformers movies with, you know, aliens with, you know, male appendages hanging. Anyway, we can go on. So speaking of box office stuff, upcoming movie possibly, or not possibly, but upcoming movie, Men in Black, a spinoff / remake / in the world without the people you're normally just seeing. Liam Neeson and Chris Hemsworth are in talks to be in this.
Well, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson are signed up. They're
okay.
Official. Yep.
Okay.
So Liam Neeson is apparently in talks to join up with them. And Liam Neeson, if folks remember, a year or two ago, he kind of swore off doing action roles in movies. Even from what I've seen in this, that his role is going to be more of the older boss kind of role for him.
So he'll be the Rip-Torn character in this movie, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But, Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson have just an insane chemistry. We saw that with Thor Ragnarok. And I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Coming out, slated to come out June 14th, 2019. And they're really putting together the articles that I'm seeing with this. It looks like they're putting together more of an ensemble cast than really just relying on kind of the buddy cop formula. that was used for the earlier film, which was great. It worked very well for them. It was fantastic.
It did work well. Yep.
I have three words. I have three words for this. Danger, Will Robinson. This could come off. This could just push me right over the edge with you. Now you're going to change the cast. You're going to make it an ensemble. I don't know. How far can you go and still call it Men in Black?
Well, yeah, but I mean, Men in Black is about the organization. I mean, I think this could really work. I was a bit put off when I first heard this thing was, you know, a reboot or a remake of the original. I'm like, oh, I don't want to see that. We need something fresh. But having these guys play in the same space of Men in Black, I think could be fun.
Yeah.
Not sold.
and I'll tell you.
Wow, she's tough.
Yeah.
No, and you know what? I mean, it's fair because I think we look at a lot of movies that come out now with a lot of skepticism, where you get your sequels, your remakes, and your reboots. And it's like, okay, some of them end up paying off and being worth it. You know, things like the new Jumanji movie, mind-blowing movie, absolutely incredible movie, amazing movie.
Right.
And that was not a remake or a reboot. It was a sequel in the fact that it just simply existed in the same universe.
Right.
You know who did these kind of reboot spinoffs, whatever, really well. And I'm a Trekkie from way back is Star Trek. Star Trek did it well. Yes. The next gen took the place of the original, but then you had these really well done, and then well established, expansions off of there or spinoffs off of there. And, rather than trying to remake everything in the image of generations past, let's get something new out there.
Now, Robin, are you talking movies or are you talking TV series when you talk about the Trek stuff?
Series, movies, right. Now, okay. The movies, no. Star Trek stayed in their universe. They played in their sandbox. But when you're talking about series or serials.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, when it comes to the series, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, I was a big Trekkie back in the day, too, and I'm sad we don't have anything really, you know, as extensive as we used to. But, yeah, going from Next Generation to Deep Space Nine to Voyager, I mean, those are all great series that played in the same world that Roddenberry created, but their own take on it. And that's why I think a Men in Black 3, like, or a Men in Black movie like this could do really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's playing in the same space. It can be totally new characters. Mm-hmm. You know, give us a new captain, give us a new first officer, you know, using the Trek analogy.
Yep.
And just run with it. It doesn't even have to be a comedy as much as it was. It could be more action than comedy, but still have some comedic elements in it.
Yep.
And I'd be happy. As long as it was, you know, playing in that same world and kept the same, you know, kinds of things going on.
Yep. And Hemsworth and Thompson, I mean, they've showed not only their action chops, but also their comedic chops too. So they can definitely make that happen.
Well, cool. I am excited for that then too now, more than I was before. Now, Tim, I don't have anything for the What Were They Thinking Weekly this week. Nothing jumped out at me saying,
Yeah, no, same here. Doesn't seem to be anything seriously obnoxious that came out in entertainment news these past few days.
Although, you know, I was catching up on some SNL episodes recently, and I love the news segment they do, the weekend update in the middle of the show. Colin Jost and Michael Che do a great job doing a, you know, satiric view of the news items. And a couple weeks ago, it was back during that, and we used to do the What Were They Thinking Weekly. Used to be kind of a Kanye.
Oh yeah.
segment. Yep. Well, this is back when Kanye had his words about slavery was a choice.
Yeah.
We went off on him about that. Well, you know, Michael Che's his turn on camera, and the thing was up, and the picture behind him was Kanye, and he goes, pass. I was like, that's just perfect. It kind of went right with the What Were They Thinking Weekly thing. Like, no words at all need to be talked about that. But
that's great.
Nothing out of the ordinary happened this week that was worthy of What Were They Thinking Weekly. So unless you got anything else, Tim, I think we're about done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're good.
Well, Robin, thank you very much for joining us. We had a great time with you here on the episode, and you filled in wonderfully for Lizzie. I mean, you couldn't replace her, of course. We didn't try to replace Lizzie with you, but you did a great job filling in. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Hey, Lizzie, look forward to having you back.
Awesome. And we'll have to have Robin on again, too, when we're talking about some Star Trek, especially when Star Trek Discovery comes back on. Are you watching Discovery, Robin?
I have not started yet. I have to get my husband a little bit more educated, shall we say.
Has he not seen all the Star Trek stuff?
He has not.
I've seen a lot of it. Oh, my God. But not all of it.
It's not his favorite.
Tim.
I love Next Generation.
Tim, Space Nine.
Tim.
DS9's good.
What? Have you seen all of it?
No, definitely not.
Oh, it gets good in like season four on.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah, the Dominion War. Oh, Tim, you got to watch it. Okay. Anyway, I won't harp on that for you.
I'll add that to the list. Comment,
please do. Please do. I might be able to send you the DVDs maybe, so I don't know. I think I got them somewhere. Anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. Anything about the show in general, questions for us, any comments you just want to give to us on our discussions tonight, you can do so by sending an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com.
And, of course, you can find us online in a variety of places. Twitter is a great place to do that. You can catch the show and the whole network feed at Random Chatter. You can find me at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. And, Lou, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E.
And Robin is not on Twitter, but she's on Discord.
At Dr. Raven.
Nice.
Yes, at Dr. Nice. Raven. So for those of us who are, those of you who are on Discord with us, you definitely can find her. You can also find us on Instagram at Random Chatter.
And of course, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We have a whole host of shows. I mean, how many shows do we have now, Tim? We have like, 1,800? I think
it's the funny thing is that on Twitter, I think yesterday or the day before, we received our first official I say complaint with air quotes because it was very tongue in cheek from one of our listeners who said, "Random Chatter has finally done it. You are now producing more content in a week than I have in drive time in my commute."
Nice.
At two times the speed, I cannot listen to all of the Random Chatter shows. You're welcome, folks. My suggestion was he could pick up a second job.
There you go. Yeah.
So then that way he could have more commute time. He would also make some more money. So it's kind of a win-win for everyone.
Or if he like rode a bike to work, that would take longer. Right?
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Or maybe get a smart car and drive slower.
Yeah, yeah. Or move to a place that has heavier traffic. So you just wait in traffic.
Your job.
You move farther away.
There you go. Oh, see, we're full of good suggestions.
Yeah. Try walking to work one day a week, dude. Come on.
There you go. That helps.
Get some exercise in, summer, enjoyable weather.
Well, we said it in tongue-in-cheek, but we are having fun with that. But, of course, we'd also like you to spread the word about us. Wherever you're getting your shows from, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher, leave reviews, give us 5 stars, or if there's, room for, 6 stars, squeak in the 6th one, that'd be great. But tell your friends about us, too. If they like the same stuff you do, they probably like listening to the same shows you do as well. So we appreciate you passing the word along.
Yeah, we certainly do. We also appreciate some financial support. With all this growth, with all the new shows that we have going on and things that we're looking to do, we've kind of alluded to this over the last week or so with the announcement of Star Wars Celebration coming up in April of next year. We want to be doing something for the network, and certainly that costs some money. So now that we're going to be paying for airline tickets or anything like that for people, but to do some of the stuff that we want to do, it takes a little bit of investment. And also just like any other organization out there, we have bills that we have to pay. We have web hosting fees. We have data storage fees. Certainly with the increase of the number of shows, we have more data. So we are having to deal with some more of that. And so financial contributions certainly help us out. In fact, we just got yesterday a new Patreon supporter at the $5 level. Which is fantastic. We definitely appreciate that. But any amount that you can contribute is a huge help. It starts at $1 a month and goes up from there. $5, $10, $15, $20. If you want to contribute $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, that's fine. We will be more than happy at the $10,000 a month level to dress up Lou in a monkey suit and have him dance in front of your house for a week.
No, no, we will not be happy with that.
It doesn't really matter what Lou says. We're definitely happy to do that. So that's one more service that we provide, folks. So you can find information on that at randomchatter.com/Patreon. And for every level that that you contribute to us, we give something back to you. So at the dollar a month level, you get full access to our Discord community, which is a great time. You get to talk to our hosts and a lot of other listeners, including my wife, on Discord, talking about shows, talking about different topics, talking about life things, all sorts of stuff. It's a great community. It's a lot of fun. And then at the $5 and $10 level, you get access to premium content. You get access to our BS, our bonus segments that we post up there, usually a little like a 5-10 minute thing that we record before we record. So you kind of get to hear some of the banter and some of the kind of behind the curtain stuff.
And Random Chatter Theater.
You get access to Random Chatter Theater. So you get to hang out with us while we watch something. We actually have an ability to stream that content out to our premium donors. And we kind of do, it's almost like an MST3K kind of thing where, you know, we'll just kind of have some random commentary as we watch it. We did a Star Wars behind the scenes thing last month. And I think we have another one coming up soon that we're going to do. And then we're going to kind of broaden it out to some other things. So lots of good stuff there. Good time. Yeah, ranging all the way from that access to Discord all the way up to Lou and his monkey suit. If you want to give Discord a try without the financial commitment, you certainly can. We do have some public access areas. So we have a public lobby, and then we also have a channel set up for each one of our shows. And those are freely and openly available. If you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, it'll ask you to create a Discord account, and then that gets you right in. So it's a good time. Please join us. And that's all I have, because Lou's giving me a stuffed Lando
thing. That's all you Lando have. You're thing. Finally finished. Wow.
Yeah, that was it.
I just want all the Discord folks out there to remember, I am at Andrea's favorite monkey.
That's true.
There you
Robin
go.
Robin is Andrea's favorite monkey.
There you go. The music you hear on the podcast is Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And with that, we are out of here. Take care, everybody.